The National Broadcasting Company brings you a program of songs by Tommy Taylor. It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around, finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be.
This is the National Broadcasting Company in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we will bring you bulletins just as soon as they are made available. In the meantime, we invite you to listen to music by the NBC Orchestra. We suggest you stay tuned for later developments.
Nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you, had to be you.
New York, and here is Mr. H.V. Kaltenborn.
The bulletin from London. Military observers said today that a general Russian offensive, coordinated with the Anglo-American attack from the West, may be launched within the next 48 hours and almost certainly will begin before the weekend. That is exactly what the Germans have been expecting. That is why they launched their counteroffensive north of Jassy in Romania. That is why they have concentrated every possible military effort of which they were capable into developing that offensive into a major attack. In that attempt, they have failed. The Russians have now had some 4 weeks in which to marshal their forces, develop their transportation, prepare their troops for the next great effort on the Eastern Front, and in accordance with the decisions reached by the Allied chiefs of state at their meetings in Moscow and Tehran, that offensive was sure to be coordinated with the launching of our offensive in Western Europe. And so, before the week is out, the Nutcracker, driving against Hitler's forces from east and west, will be in effect.
Thank you, Mr. Kaltenborn. We now return you to our regularly scheduled program by Tommy Taylor.
Thank you.
tropic wind sing a song through the trees. Trees sigh to me, soon my love I will see. Poinciana, your branches speak to me of love. Pale moon is casting shadows from above. Poinciana, somehow I feel the jungle heat within me. There grows a rhythmic savage beat. Love is everywhere, its magic perfume fills the air. To and fro you sway my heart in time. Poinciana, from now until the dawning day, I'll learn to love forever, come what may. Low tropic winds sing a song.
Ah,
love is calling. Someone should wish me happy falling. No more being lonely. Can I be lonely? You look at me and suddenly it's spring.
This is the NBC Newsroom in New York, and here again is NBC's Elmer Peterson.
In a special invasion extra, the Army newspaper Stars and Stripes at Naples reported today that 30,000 Allied paratroopers have landed in France to spearhead the massive operations now underway along the Normandy coast and inland from the Normandy coast. It's a good indication of how extensive this attack on France is. On the other hand, as we have indicated before, there's good reason to believe that this will by no means be the only point of attack. In fact, we are waiting momentarily now for announcement of new invasion thrusts on the continent. The Germans are afraid of this. The Berlin radio expresses fear that subsequent landings, later today perhaps, from point of weight, will make the initial landings minute by comparison. Up to this moment, Allied headquarters, and for tactical reasons, has been silent concerning the location of the assault, except for disclosing that Normandy was the general area. The Allied seaborne troops were led by the British commander, General Montgomery, and the men surged across the channel by 4,000 regular ships and by additional thousands of smaller craft. 11,000 planes supported the attack, and the latest report is that they have dropped no less than 5,000 tons of bombs against the German fortifications along the coast. Reports direct from the beachhead, although meager, make one specific pronouncement, namely that the invasion so far can be termed a success, that the Allied command has made good in its greatest gamble of the war so far. And it was nothing less than a gamble, for the landings were made against the strongest fortified section of the French coast. They were made against defenses on which the Nazis have worked with their best engineers for several years. They were made against everything the Germans could put up in the way of defense. Allied reconnaissance pilots now report encouragingly that the invasion troops have secured the beachheads and are cutting steadily inland. And if any confirmation is needed, Vichy Radio admits the drive inland is going right ahead. An Allied reconnaissance flyer says that our forces have pushed beyond the coastal danger area. It calls attention to what may be our far-reaching strategy. It may be that we intend to cut straight across southwestward through France in a wide encircling movement in which will be joined by attacks in southern France. And a late broadcast by the Berlin radio says that Allied tanks have penetrated several miles now between the towns of Caen and Isigny on the Norman Peninsula. NBC's reporter, Ed Hawker, flew over 20 miles of the invasion coast this morning, and he reports that not a single German coastal gun was firing in the entire invasion zone, which would indicate that our forces have completely knocked out the enemy's initial line of defenses. It may be that the Atlantic Wall will not in the end prove as formidable as had been feared. It must be remembered, however, that the Germans' own strategy undoubtedly will be to withdraw and then bring powerful counterattacks to bear. And to our powerful Navy guns go credit for smashing the Germans' first line of defense. More than 640 guns, as we've reported before, hurl thousands of shells into the German fortifications, many of them 16-inch shells. Explosive tore through those fortifications on which the Germans rested their hopes of blocking the first landings on the continent. Two American parachute divisions, the 28th and the 101st, have been dropped behind German lines and presumably are attending to the business of ripping up enemy communication lines, seizing airfields, and strategic rail lines. And one development, of course, as the invasion progresses, will be that we will make use of captured airfields. The Germans will have left these airfields cut up, destroyed as best they could do it. But our engineers will go to work, as they have done in Italy, to repair airfields quickly, and thus give us advanced air bases for further attacks against the Germans. President Roosevelt will go on the air at 10 o'clock tonight and lead the nation in a prayer for victory. After his talk last night on the fall of Rome, he retired to his room to start writing the prayer. Mr. Roosevelt expresses hope that the entire nation will join with him in voicing the prayer at 10 o'clock tonight, Eastern War Time. As we've said before, the attack on along the Normandy coast of France, this invasion, calls attention to the part which Russia may soon play in bringing to bear against the German a great encircling movement from all sides. In fact, in Russia, they've received the news with great joy. The Russian people are elated. Their 3 years of waiting for the blow from the West has now become a reality. And the attack has a special significance for the armies of Premier Joseph Stalin. For there are new reports coming in by the hour now, which indicate that the Russians, who have been preparing for a long time for new offensives, soon may take this attack on France as a signal for contributing a further share towards the eventual defeat of the Nazis. The Russian troops are ready to perform their part in this final offensive to crush all that Nazism stands for. In fact, in London at this moment, there are predictions that a new Russian offensive may be launched at any moment. Berlin would have us believe that the German people are taking the invasion calmly, with no excitement, no extraditions, no special radio announcements. An early morning broadcast from Berlin tried to minimize the magnitude of the cross-channel thrust. It said that the Allied intentions are not clear. But in a subsequent announcement, the Berlin radio was forced to change its tune to this, that the Allied landings mean this is the great invasion. And what the effect will be on the German people, we can only imagine. They have had their hopes of a split between Russia and Britain and America. They have had their hopes, carefully built up by Nazi propagandists, that somehow the Atlantic Wall would hold back the invasion of France. These hopes are now being dissipated. Gradually, it will dawn upon the German people more and more that an overwhelming power is being put against them, and that eventually they must face final and inevitable defeat. All of Europe, all of the conquered peoples, knew at the very inception that the invasion had started. They were told by radio. They were told by their own underground means of communications. Huge Allied cargo planes barraged the continent with tons and tons of paper. Messages written in every language saying that this is the hour to strike. This is the hour that marks the beginning of liberation for you people of the occupied countries. And so all of those fine preparations over a period of months and years in the occupied countries now will find their realization. In fact, the underground patriots in France at this moment, no doubt, are proving a great assistance to Allied troops, especially those parachute troops, those airborne infantrymen, who, fighting behind the German lines, need every help they can get, and who, if they can hold on, if they can gain advantage and hold it, will provide a real breach in German defenses, for the time will come when our forces working inland will join up with those parachute troops, and we then will have achieved the first real break in German communications in the German defenses. As a matter of fact, the people of Europe were the first to know that D-Day had arrived. So intense was the barrage of paper bullets which began falling upon them even before the real bullets began falling on the enemy. A late claim by Berlin that the Nazis have launched a counterattack at Osnell near the mouth of the Seine River and knocked out 35 Allied tanks has no confirmation as yet from Allied headquarters. And the enemy asserts further that his counter thrust east of Cherbourg also are making headway. But the supreme German counterattack is not expected possibly for a week, by which time they will have been able to bring up all their reserve strength for perhaps an area 500 miles around. However, this lays the enemy open to attacks from other points, new amphibious landings, and we shall strike wherever they weaken themselves most. In fact, the German High Command, as we've said before, now faces a moment of great decision. If they withdraw their troops from one point, they weaken themselves and expose themselves to new attacks. They must keep their troops in readiness all along the Atlantic Wall, while we, in turn, exert heavy pressure at one and more points. And here's a report just come in. General Charles de Gaulle, leader of the French Provisional Government, has just arrived in London. And one of his first acts was to make an address to the people of France. His speech in French now is being sent by beam from London. We will bring you the general words to his people as soon as they are available here. Certainly it calls new attention to the great moment which has arrived for the French people. This moment when, finally, after years, they see Allied armies again striking back on French soil, this time far more effectively. This time, we have reason to hope, with no repetition of Dunkirk.
Thank you, Elmer Peterson. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations will bring you all the news of the invasion as rapidly as it is received. Stand by just a moment, please. Now for a special broadcast, a message of General Eisenhower, we take you to London.
National, or by outside leaders, I say, follow the instructions you have received. To patriots who are not members of organized resistance groups, I say, continue your passive resistance, but do not needlessly endanger your lives. Wait until I give you the signal to rise and strike the enemy. The day will come when I shall need your united strength. Until that day, I call on you for the hard task of discipline and restraint. Citizens of France, I am proud to have again under my command the gallant forces of France. Fighting beside their allies, they will play a worthy part in the liberation of their homeland. Because the initial landing has been made on the soil of your country, I repeat to you with even greater emphasis my message to the peoples of other occupied countries in Western Europe. Follow the instructions of your leaders. A premature uprising of all Frenchmen may prevent you from being of maximum help to your country in the critical hour. Be patient. Prepare. As Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force, there is imposed on me the duty and responsibility of taking all measures necessary to the prosecution of the war. Prompt and willing obedience to the orders that I shall issue is essential. Effective civil administration of France must be provided by Frenchmen. All persons must continue in their present duties unless otherwise instructed. Those who have made common cause with the enemy and so betrayed their country will be removed. When France is liberated from her oppressor, you yourselves will choose your representatives and the government under which you wish to live. In the course of this campaign for the final defeat of the enemy, you may sustain further loss and damage. Tragic though they may be, they are part of the price of victory. I assure you that I shall do all in my power to mitigate your hardship. I know that I can count on your steadfastness now, no less than in the past. For the heroic deeds of Frenchmen who have continued the struggle against the Nazis and their Vichy satellites in France and throughout the French Empire have been an example and an inspiration to all of us. This landing is but the opening phase of the campaign in Western Europe. Great battles lie ahead. I call upon all who love freedom to stand with us now. Keep your faith staunch. Our arms are resolute. Together we shall achieve victory.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was a rebroadcast of General Eisenhower's statement that he gave to the world at 4 o'clock this morning and which was carried by NBC just 8 hours ago. We'd like to call your attention to a broadcast, one full hour of news beginning at 12 o'clock, in which we'll bring you pickup from various portions of the country, including our nation's capital in Washington. We now bring you a program of music.
We continue now with Don Reed and the NBC Orchestra.
Days hurrying by when you're in love, days hurry and by when you're in love. My heart they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now. that once were mine. Tender eyes that shine, they will light my way tonight. I'll see you in my
gentlemen, we ask that you stay tuned to the station to which you are listening for a full hour news broadcast beginning at 12 o'clock Eastern Wartime. That is exactly 4 minutes from now. One full hour of the latest invasion news. Thank you.
Life divine, and be my Lord.